from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Let's meet the 2024 MLB All-Stars.
Speaks tells us what to watch for in the All-Star game. I would think the game.
From the Chicago Cubs, pitcher Shota Imanaga. From the Chicago White Sox, pitcher Garrett Crochet.
Shota and Crochet, we don't know when they're going to get in, but hopefully they each get an inning with some fun matchups.
Garrett Crochet.
And this guy can run it up there. As Teoscar Hernandez goes down in a high fastball.
There are 37 first-timers in this game tonight. The guy that I'll be looking at is starting the game, Jurickson Profar.
2-2 from Crochet. Profar chops one left side. On a short hop, Henderson with a heck of a play. Gunnar Henderson flashing the leather over there short to help out Garrett Crochet. Tied in three, Shota Imanaga, the Chicago Cubs, on to face the bottom of the American League lineup. This guy's made quite a first impression.
He's been unbelievable, and he's single-handedly keeping the Cubs afloat.
Hooked into left field. Profar moves over and makes a running grab to finish off a 1-2-3-4 for Imanaga.
I would like to see Torey Lovello give Shohei Ohtani three at-bats.
It's a spot home. Way back to right field. Soto doesn't even move. Ohtani has homered in the All-Star game.
Ellie De La Cruz is my pick for MVP.
Nope.
Shane, you and Danny need somebody to free.
Give me someone at like 38-1.
35-1 is William Contreras.
Yes.
Nope.
Here's a high fly ball off of the bat to Jaren Duran. That one will leave the yard and give the American League its first lead of the night.
The Ted Williams MVP, Jaren Duran from the Red Sox.
Who the hell is that?
Emmanuel Clase.
Emmanuel Clase.
Clase's 0-2 is fouled into the glove for strike three. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night to the National League. The AL's back on top with a 10th win in the last 11 All-Star games.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Big in the heart of Texas.
Anyway, did you like the All-Star game?
Well, I would say it was fine.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
So, it is the All-Star break. The game has now happened. So now we are into some sportslessness for a couple of days. We will be at Wrigley on Friday ahead of Cubs and Diamondbacks. Looking forward to going to the game in the suite with the mob. Then we'll be on the air afterwards. It's going to be very exciting. But, sir,
yo,
tell me about pluck a player.
Pluck a player. It's not pick a player. That was a very different thing from a very different show.
Very different show.
Yeah, very different show. Speaking of the Parkins, pluck a player is this. If you could pluck any player from that game last night and place them onto the Cubs roster with the full context of their positional utility, their contract situation, who is the best fit to make this particular Cubs roster a contender for now and in the next couple years? So in this winning window that is supposed to be starting right now, this is supposed to be a winning year, and we've discussed all too well the Cubs' issues, positive and negative, and their situation. What is the one player from that All-Star game? Who is the one player that you immediately place onto this roster and you're like, oh, look at that. That is exactly what they need. And before you jump in with your thought, understand this. The salary needs to fit in based on where they are with the first competitive balance tax threshold.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Well, so I can't.
That's too much math.
All right. Wait, yeah, you can go above. You can go above.
I can't put them in. Well, because then, yeah, no, then the answer is nobody.
No, I'm crazy. You, all right. Forget that part of it then.
Would they have, if Shohei Ohtani, like Shohei Ohtani signed that massive contract,
uh-huh.
He wanted to be a Dodger. Would the Cubs, if he said, I'll sign this contract that I signed with the Dodgers, I'll sign it, but it's from you.
All right. So
would the Cubs have signed him to that deal?
Right, so let's say this. You have to know if you're doing that, it may very well preclude you from other moves, though. Other moves next year and beyond because you have the full-on superstar. So maybe, you know, if you're thinking about it from a team building perspective, somebody with a lower salary who is still producing like crazy, I think is more attractive because it will allow for more moves. I'm not saying you have to stay below the first threshold, but I think you should take contract status and control into account. That's a factor. But the biggest thing to also take into account is their positional fit. Like, for instance, the guy that I love the most on that from that game last night, as I'm watching him sit there, man, look at that guy. Look at that guy. I don't know if he has a position that you just hand him on this roster, because whoever you're bringing in, you still got to use the guys that are effective on this team. You don't want to just replace somebody who's actually contributing because you don't have enough here. You need to use everybody. So should I go ahead and give you that answer to make what I'm talking about clear here?
I feel like I know what you're talking about. I feel like I can guess.
Yeah, you can guess. Well, because I'll say, I loved watching Juan Soto in everything last night, and I love that guy. Right?
Thank you.
But we should wait until the end to reveal it. You're right.
All right, hold on.
No, it's about speed.
We have a caller right here.
But my God, the vibes and the energy on Juan Soto, the hustle double where Teoscar Hernandez is caught sleeping, his joy at the walk in the first inning and the way he talked about it because he wanted to make sure that Aaron Judge got to face Paul Skenes. And he has such a plan at the plate. He controls the strike zone with his bat. I hadn't seen this number until they said it last night. I hadn't realized. Guy's hitting .409 with runners in scoring position. It's the best hitter in baseball with runners in scoring position is Juan Soto. Unbelievable. But if I'm grabbing him, can't play center. He's a right fielder or a left fielder. I can't not play Seiya Suzuki and Ian Happ. You could say,
I could for Juan Soto.
But you need the production of all those guys to be a great team.
Right. That's what the DH is for. But no,
But if you've got to DH him, then where's Morel going to play? You can't play
third base.
You're not going to play him at third base in games of consequence.
Yeah, they will. They're going to sub him out late. But
Somebody's sitting. Of those four people that I just gave you, somebody's going to end up sitting unless they teach Juan Soto to play first base on the fly.
You don't think that there's a scenario?
It's not that hard.
I think it's not that hard. That the Cubs, if they did make the playoffs, that Christopher Morel would start a playoff game at third base?
He might start one playoff game at third base.
I think that there's a real chance that he would do that and they would sub him out later in the game.
It's been especially a little while since he played.
If you had Juan Soto, well, the answer if you really want to be the Moneyball Cubs is Adley Rutschman. Guy makes less than $1 million. He plays catcher. You get absolutely nothing offensively from the catcher position, and he's got 16 bombs this year. So he's not the best offensive player. He's got an OPS under 800.
It's a pretty damn good one.
But he's a pretty damn good one, and you take your biggest offensive weakness and you make it an all-star caliber player at that position. Like, that is cheap, your biggest weakness, best player, young, guy's arbitration eligible next year. He's not an unrestricted free agent until 2028. So you have this and three more years of Adley Rutschman. If you're playing Moneyball, that's the answer.
That's an incredible answer.
I think it's the answer.
And he's also, he's also an incredible leader and teammate and handler of pitchers with incredible team chemistry vibes. That is a phenomenal answer. of somebody you'd grab and put in there.
Well, because Soto, to your point, I mean, Soto's amazing.
Soto's incredible.
And he's better than lefty slug and all that, but he's not under contract beyond this year.
He's about to get paid, so you're going to have to get in big with superstar money and lock yourself in and hope that he's healthy and productive, and it will preclude you from a lot of other moves.
Right, but in the context of this game, I mean, yes, if you're saying I also not only get to put him on the Cubs, but I also get to sign him to an extension, then I do think Soto's under the... Like, I would definitely prefer Shohei to Soto because I know I have Shohei beyond this year, whereas Soto could sign with anybody in the offseason.
And Shohei's pitching next year.
Which is valuable,
which
I've
is
heard.
Really valuable.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't care about Tom Ricketts paying a higher tax bill, and I don't, Shohei would be my answer. And then you figure it out. You figure out where you move Seiya or DH or whatever the case may be, and you just have Shohei Ohtani, and thank you. You're our DH and our pitcher, and everything's fine.
I'm interested in what these guys think, and if there's good texts coming in or if we want to do calls, we certainly can. But I think Adley Rutschman is a great answer. As much as I want to say Juan Soto, I cannot. Shane, you want to get in with your guy? Because I considered him.
Yeah,
Shane,
for sure. I might have like three right now.
All right, well, choose your one.
Well, can we do White Sox real quick just for the fun exercise?
Yeah,
if you could pick any of these guys to be on the White Sox, go ahead.
Yeah, Shohei, Juan Soto.
Oh, literally any of them.
How do I name 52 players, or 42 players?
I got one.
52
for the White Sox, Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
No, two more weeks.
I would pick Garrett Crochet.
All right, so it's Garrett Crochet or Skubal for me.
Oh, for who?
For the Cubs? For the Cubs. Or Mason Miller. It's three very cost-effective pitchers, cost-efficient pitchers, however you want to say it, that aren't owed anything.
I don't think you need a starting pitcher.
You do need a starting pitcher because Jameson Taillon can fall off in a heartbeat. A heartbeat. And these guys who, first-year arbitration eligible, are sub $1 million, but then the most that like a second arbitration year has ever paid a pitcher is like sub $10 million. And these guys are worth that.
I'm not, I wouldn't
they
choose a starting
more
pitcher.
Pitching.
Your Mason Miller, though, has a lot of legs.
Yeah, I mean, that works too, but he's going to get a ton of money. This is a 24-year-old who's still pre-arb.
Mason Miller
he's going to take Cade Horton. He's going to take PCA. He's going to take...
This is pluck a player.
This is pluck a player. We don't have to worry about the trade package.
Now
we're just plucking him.
That's DeLulu.
No, so you know, Mason Miller is making $740,000 and has 7 years of control. And he throws 103 with a ridiculous slider.
Yeah, but in 2 years, he's going to make $10 million for a closer.
In an arb year?
Yes. Yeah, he will.
Maybe. Okay.
He will reset the market for first-year arb year. I just looked it up.
That would be fine.
Dallas Keuchel, first time eligible, 2016, made $7.25 million from the Astros, first time eligible arb year. Mason Miller will reset that floor.
I think a closer is a viable thought here because of what it would do. Chris Tannehill.
Yeah, so I have a cleaner option. Like I'm right where Shane is. Like the way this Cubs thing, you know, you can't turn back time unless it's part of the exercise here. But if you had the luxury to shorten these games earlier, we know the Cubs record, like, had, you know, all those blown saves that they had lost early in the season. Like, it really kind of derailed this thing. But they're not totally, you know, lost this year. But if you were able to shorten these games the rest of the way, with the way they're hitting now, you could put Neris back to an eighth inning role and you get some of these other guys back. You shorten the game for Emmanuel Clase, who his arb years have already been bought out.
Look at the contract Emmanuel Clase signed. I'm looking at it right now. This year, he makes 2.9. Next year, he makes 4.9, then 6.4 in 26, and then two club options at 10 mil per. If he stays healthy, you've got a lockdown closer for a max of 10 mil until 2028.
Yeah, but Caleb Williams' dad is his agent. You never know what's going to happen. Carl's in there with them.
That is cleaner than Mason Miller, but there's more tread on the tires, and I'd be a little afraid in that regard.
I'm the simpleton over here. Why would
You won, all right? You won. You won from the baseball perspective. That's an awesome call with Adley Rutschman.
Rutschman's a great call.
It was amazing.
I don't even feel like closer if you could literally pick any player in the game,
yeah,
closers are not as valuable as aces. And then I would say that a guy who can hit 40 bombs
it's
every
not.
Year
yep.
for this team is the most valuable thing because they are better pitching than offense. So like, give me, if I can't have Soto or Shohei, give me Aaron Judge. Like, give me the best offensive player to plug into the middle of the lineup.
Right, well,
because
now
that's what the team needs.
Now I'll give you my answer. Now I'll give you my answer. And my answer is Gunnar Henderson. Because Gunnar Henderson can slide right over to play third base next to Dansby Swanson. And Gunnar Henderson is making $756,000, folks. And his pre-arb next year has 5 to 6 years of control. And is one of the best players in all of baseball. That is a left-handed slugger and a brilliant defensive player. And hell, you can move Dansby to third if you really want to.
That's what I was going
to
say.
If you really want to, you can.
Yep.
But either way, give me Gunner, because all of a sudden your defense is locked down and he doesn't preclude anything. Morel can still be your DH and play a little bit defensively. You can teach Morel to play a corner outfield so he can play a little bit there. You're using everybody that you have and adding Gunnar Henderson. So I like Gunner.
The lefty slug is a very compelling argument. It's the most valuable thing on offense. It's a very compelling argument.
A left-handed run producer to be added into this mix, and you can hit him anywhere you want in your first three spots, and everybody gets to stay. You can keep Bellinger playing some first base, some center field, some right, whatever. Keep Pete Crow Armstrong as your extra outfielder or start him in center if you really want to. I think Gunner makes you an absolute stud for years to
so
come.
So do you not want to have this conversation factoring in what you have to give up and what you have to pay someone?
I do not. I'm plucking a player.
Fun. Well, that's fun. I get it.
Well, how about, you know, you've got a nice balanced offense now, and then you still have the same problems as early in the season where you just, these games are just getting away from you late, you know?
I agree.
And I know it's about the big picture and beyond this season, but like, I think they still have a shot this year, you know?
Well, I think you could more easily trade for Carlos Estevez, the closer in Los Angeles, or Kyle Finnegan, the closer from Washington. You could make that deal easier than you could go get a Gunnar Henderson. It's just my crazy thought. If we're plucking one player, you can still make deals at the deadline. And you still need a catcher. To your point, Danny, you still need a catcher.
Were those other guys all-stars, by the way? I couldn't tell because of the uniform. So those other guys you just mentioned,
great question.
Emilio Estevez, was he an all-star?
I don't
Emilio
believe Estevez. So.
Hey, Yan Gomes is a free agent, right?
Oh, boy.
Ooh. There are so few good offensive catchers in the sport. It's a very, very, very valuable thing.
I mean, Maldonado is pretty offensive to me.
Yeah, he offends you.
He offends me a lot.
Not the steal. I thought there was momentum behind his all-star selection.
Yeah. He was not there last night, was
no.
he? No. I was looking for him.
He didn't quite make it.
John Triffin thought he'd be there.
Any other third baseman? How about Alec Bohm with your pink lips? You know,
not my pink lips. They're his pink lips.
I know, but you liked it.
As soon as he didn't make that play in foul territory last night, I was all out.
Yeah, what was that?
He ran into a wall like a dumbass.
I mean, if there's a pitching argument, I mean, should we discuss Skeens for a minute?
Probably.
The guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
And he's a rookie. He's pitched in 11 games.
He's cheap.
Yeah, I know. Like, and look, I don't think there's anything more valuable than a top of the rotation ace. This team needs offense, and I don't know where they're going to get it. If you tell me Owen Casey is gonna be Gunnar Henderson, I'll listen. But
right, like Paul Skeens will probably make more money in his career than Adley Rutschman, but with Tanny, I was prioritizing this year as. It all matters, but if you are not conceding that this team the season is over,
yeah.
The biggest hole is offense and catcher.
Yeah.
Rutschman solves both problems.
I think they need a superstar bat. Yeah. I mean, and you could argue Aaron Judge.
Yes, I would.
Who plays center field. Dude plays center. Not great, though. Not great. But, you know, you'd find a spot. But again, I don't want to take time from any of the people that actually contribute. I'm not worried about PCA, but, I mean, you're going to need Bellinger. You can play Bellinger out there. Michael Bush, all of a sudden, is a guy who has to play.
Yeah.
So I need Bush to play and Saya and Happ and
PCA.
Bellinger. Yeah, and PCA. And Morel. Morel's 18 homers. I mean, he's...
Well, that's why I'm a little surprised. I mean, I know you're saying he can just become the DH, but then where does Bellinger play?
Bellinger can play sort of...
You said you don't want to take away time from it. You know, so
I'll take time from PCA. From PCA. PCA will be my defensive replacement as Bellinger moves over and plays right. Maybe Saya DHs for me more often. I want Saya out of right field. I'd play Bellinger in right and PCA in center as my best defensive outfield. If I grabbed Gunnar Henderson to play third base.
It'd be cool if they just signed Juan Soto in free agency.
It really would.
That would be cool.
And then maybe you trade. You still have to figure out where you're going to play him. Maybe you trade Moretta.
I want to bat him third.
I understand.
Or fourth. That's where I want to play him. I want to play him in the middle of the lineup. 2, 3, or 4. That's where I want him. You're talking about defense?
Yeah.
I'm like Bill Murray in Space Jam. I don't play defense. I want Juan Soto's bat in the lineup for the next 5 years.
All right, but Danny, here's the thing. The Cubs only have the fourth highest valuation in all of MLB franchises.
I know.
There's 30 of them.
It's tough.
They're only number four. They're not 1, 2, or 3. There's not a lot of money to go around.
It's going to be tough.
You can't expect them to spend money on free agents.
It's going to be tough.
It's not there. It's going to Donald Trump.
It's going to be different.
His super PAC.
The
industry isn't very profitable, to be quite honest.
You know what third baseman...
The media rights thing is a problem.
What third baseman didn't get mentioned? Our guy Joe Ram. You know?
Yeah, that's on purpose.
Hey, what? Well, Joe Ram!
He's aging out.
You'd hate to see him on the Cubs.
I couldn't stomach that. Seeing him in a Cubs uniform. Yeah, I just... Oh, God, it would be horrendous.
Well, he's on a big, big contract, though, and if I'm going to... Yeah, so I'd rather have Gunnar Henderson than Joe Ram, as much as I love
Joe. Joe? Listen to what you're saying.
I know.
I'm talking about Joe Ram,
dude. $141 million through 2028.
Yeah, they've doubled. I think the White Sox top contract, right? Yeah. Is that double Benintendi's? Uh-huh. If not, it's close.
Benintendi was 75. Double being 150. Yeah.
That's actually a very manageable deal for a superstar of his magnitude, and he's freaking awesome. But I'd rather have Gunnar, who's not getting paid anything now.
Isn't he like 5'9", Jose Ramirez?
Yeah, with a really chubby face. Really exceedingly
that's a stoic guy right there. He hardly ever shows any emotion
out there. True.
Other than like he just likes he's got that bitter beer face every time he's up there.
Maybe that's
he's
where my books went. Ass.
But, he is 5'9". By the way, did you see who the White Sox signed?
No.
I called it last night.
You got the lineup there, Danny?
No.
The White Sox last night signed a guy. I called it last Friday in transition.
But how about this one? Nick Senzel was cut by the Nationals. That dude, he was the number two pick in the draft.
It's a good reminder.
He's 29 years old. I mean, he was a third baseman. Then the Reds were playing him in center field. I mean, he's a guy who could play all over the outfield or the infield, theoretically. He just kind of can't hit or stay healthy. But at 29, if you're that's a legit flyer for the White Sox in my mind.
And last night they signed Nick Senzel.
Nice ball.
So you get right every once in a while. You know about the 2017 prospect list, right, Danny?
They keep signing guys from it.
They paid attention. Really,
they love that draft.
They were really into that prospect list and the draft the year before. Andrew Benintendi is number one. Yoan Moncada, number two. Lucas Giolito is on that list. Michael Kopech.
They had those guys.
Yeah, was on that list. There's Nick Senzel, number 26 on that list. Clint Frazier on that list. Eric Fetty on that prospect list. Mike Soroka on that prospect list. It just keeps going and going. Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah.
I mean, they just keep chasing dudes from that one particular list.
So the Sox have like 65 wins then, right? At the break?
There's some all-stars in that list.
Yeah, it's a pretty good list.
Yeah, like they're winning a lot of games.
Years ago?
Yeah. Not current all-stars necessarily.
Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez as Cubs were on that list. They're let's just get everybody.
So what's their record?
Zach Collins.
It's not very good.
Zach Collins as well. Sorry, Teddy.
Damn, 27 and 71. Are any of those guys still on the team?
A few of them.
When's the last time you saw the win column separated by 20 games from a fifth place to a fourth place team?
Yeah, 27 and 47 for the Tigers. That's a good one for the standings, but also 32 and a half games out of first at the break is incredible.
It's insane.
The next biggest is 22 for the Rockies.
They're so bad, they should be embarrassed.
I hope they are. I think they might be.
I don't think they get embarrassed.
I don't think they do either.
It's pretty frightening. I don't believe
it's a valuable
get.
Skill, but not if you root for him. Yikes. Well, all right. They're probably not going to be the worst team ever.
Yeah, they'd have to.
They got a shot to not be the worst team ever.
Yeah, what was it, 42-120?
Yeah,
is the 1962 Mets?
Yeah,
so they can't win more than 15 games
in the second half.
Hey man, let's see who they trade. I mean, Crochet has 7 wins. Eric Fetty has 6 wins.
Right.
They send those guys away.
A big trade or two.
What about war?
And an injury.
What about war?
Yeah. What's it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Earlier today. Yeah. I knew as soon as you brought up that win stat with Fetty and Crochet, it was over. It was a wrap.
War.
Yeah.
Joe Sheehan.
WRC plus is the only stat that matters to me.
Coming up next. I think Spieg stole a take from a barber. Hey, it's all content. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Lockport High School's CM Punk. Most famous Lockport alum? It's probably Punk. I think you got it.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
Afternoons on the score.
Thanks for hanging out. Parkins and Spiegel on the score. Going to be a fun show, as always, Mully and Haw. Tomorrow morning, 5:30 to 10, they're in front of a live audience in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. Olin Krutz will be there. Dave Wannstedt will be there. Other special guests who sound like Brad Biggs will be there. It's all on the eve of training camp, and it's brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. And Schmaltz Deli, spreading deli goodness everywhere.
Yum!
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Tanny playing good. The Sonic 45. New album is out on Spotify. Streaming. Check it out.
Scream it.
Sonic 45, supersonic. So I went to get my hair cut the other day.
Yeah, it looks good.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
Appreciate that. Do we get haircuts around these parts, both you and me?
That's true. It's something that we invented. we're pioneers.
Yeah, we thought it'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
I've never seen Tanny get a haircut.
No, he's fresh.
You ever see that? Yeah. No. He likes his hair. Just keeps growing it, growing it.
Growing it, growing it, growing
it. Growing it well.
Yeah.
So I'm...
Do you like getting a haircut?
I do, actually.
Do you?
I really enjoy it.
A lot of people do. Waste of time.
I always go someplace where there's like at least a hot towel component or like a neck and shoulder massage component, perhaps.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's like, and usually,
like,
of course,
feel pampered.
The shampoo and the conditioner component.
Ooh, you do that too?
Oh, man.
How often do you shampoo your hair?
Mine?
Yeah.
Every day.
Huh.
I know you're not supposed to, but I do.
No,
I do it every shower also.
Same.
Really?
Yeah. Feels good,
you're
man.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah, I know, right?
But I mean, according to who? You only live once.
Science.
Shampoo away.
The doctors.
Why do they sell shampoo if you're not supposed to use it?
But you're just,
nobody's saying not to use it.
Yeah, they're not saying don't use it. They're just saying don't use it every day.
I don't
know. This guy's compromised.
Why is it always there in the shower if I'm not supposed to use it?
That's where you keep it.
This big shampoo got to us all.
Yeah. Yeah, I use it every day. Every shower.
Okay.
So do I. Uh-huh. How often do you shampoo your hair, Shane?
Every 3 day shampoo, every other conditioner.
Uh-huh. Hmm. And do you just use the same stuff you use on Willie, the dog?
No, her shampoo is more expensive than mine.
Oh, yeah. My God. That's outrageous.
So if you get a shampoo, a conditioner, a neck and shoulder massage,
hot towel,
and a hot towel treatment,
it's like an $80 day.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. Yeah. How much is your haircut?
$65 with a $10 tip.
$75.
Just $10, huh?
Ooh. Yeah.
No, it's a little light. $65.
Is that light? Yeah.
It's a little
sub
light for
20%
for all they're doing for you.
It's a 17.5% tip,
especially so after that foot massage you're getting.
Yeah. Nobody said that. So all right, $65 with a $15 tip.
I mean, well, now you're lying.
Yeah.
Exposed.
Truth tellers.
Yeah. I didn't come here for a haircut, you know me?
All right. But
that's what I do. I said. Actually, this last place that I went was a much, much less expensive place because my normal place was busy.
This last place you went?
Yes.
You don't schedule your schedule around your barber schedule?
I do. I do usually, but this time I needed one because I had a gig. Okay. With the aforementioned Sonic 45, and then I was supposed to do TV on Sunday night, which got canceled anyway.
That's funny.
But exactly. So I needed a haircut, and so I went to Floyd's. I went to Floyd's and took my chances, and Crystal over at Floyd's on Harrison did a phenomenal job, right? Didn't she? Crystal did a great job.
That looks great.
And she was really cool.
Yeah.
She was really cool. We had a great conversation.
It's like Harrison and State, right?
Yeah.
Right there by Columbia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and
the
obviously.
Former South Loop Club.
And I know that those places, like, they can be very hit and miss.
Yeah.
But you take your chances well, sometimes.
Hit or miss. Hit,
yes.
It's not both.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Hey, the front of my head, I gotta tell you, that's
it.
A hit.
They nailed it. They really missed on the sides.
Yeah.
It's an uneven haircut. Uh-huh. It was both a hit and a miss.
I know. So this was a lot cheaper. Anyway, I'm talking to Crystal. Delightful conversation. Among other things, we're talking about the Art Institute. She you know, her husband. Her husband loves Monet. She loves Van Gogh. You know, it's just one of those conversations.
Getting to know each other.
I was chatty.
I'm shocked.
I'm not always chatty, but that time I was chatty. She was chatty.
A lot of details in this story.
Yeah. Okay. But then she was started. We started. She asked me what I did. And
break.
I answered her.
And then she said, "Oh, that's interesting."
Yeah.
And I said, "What do you do?" And she said, "I'm a barber."
Yeah. I knew what she did. It was obvious from the moment I walked in.
She's a pro.
You can tell.
I said hello.
She said she's a big basketball person. She says, you know, her kid loves LeBron, and she's trying to tell her kid all the time about how Michael was the GOAT, and then Michael LeBron comes up, you know. And then she said, what do you think about Bronny? What do you think about Bronny James out there? And I said, he's a Nepo baby. You know?
Yeah.
And she said, you got a problem with it? And I said, well, it's not that I have a problem with it, but he got a fully guaranteed contract as a second rounder. I think he's taken a spot from another player who was probably more deserving to get drafted. And, you know, it just feels a little wrong. And she said, well, let me ask you this. Did you ever get any benefit in your life from your parents being either well off or advanced or having any success? And I said, why, yes. Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. She said, can you think of anybody else in the history of American civilization and culture that got some benefit from their parents having gone before them and built a legacy, and then they were able to take advantage of it? And they also were very talented, hardworking people, and there's nothing wrong with them, but they just, you know, got that advantage. And I said, yes. And she said, so what's wrong with LeBron, who's never done anything really negative in his life, you know, in terms of scandal or being a bad person overall, regardless of what you think about him on the court? She said, off the court, he's been amazing, right? I said, yeah. She said, what's wrong with him using some of his power and influence to try and set his children up for a good situation? What's wrong with him doing that? And I thought about it for a while, and I said, you know what? Nothing. Nothing is wrong with that. And she said, you sure? Because like you just a minute ago, and she was really good. She's like, you were just talking about somebody else not getting a chance. And I said, yeah, but, you know, I mean, we all know people who got an opportunity to intern somewhere, or they got an entry-level job somewhere. Oh, did I just notice that Billy Donovan III was named the head coach of the Windy City Thunder, ladies and gentlemen? The Windy City Bulls, I should say.
And Wes Unseld Jr. added to the staff?
Yeah, exactly. So then I'm thinking, you know what, Crystal? I hear you. And then I added the context, which she did not, that for decades and decades and centuries, a lot of black folks were unable to have an opportunity like this where they could, you know, get their children into a situation. And who is, I mean, LeBron James is about as deserving as anybody to do something good for his children along the way. And I said, you know what, Crystal, thank you for the haircut and the conversation. And that's Crystal's take, and I think she actually made a lot of good points.
Yeah, I'm surprised you had, it's not that it's not a good take, I'm surprised you hadn't thought of it in that way. Because
I hadn't thought of it much, is the truth.
Okay.
I hadn't really thought about it much.
Got you. Because, yeah, first of all, there's nepotism all over the NBA. It's a big part of the pipeline of the pros. A lot of coaches' sons getting in and things like that.
And there's nepotism all over sports. Kyle Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Getting a chance at the beginning. And then, oh, by the way, he's great.
Yeah. Frank Vogel said when I talked to him for the book, when I asked him about like his path, it was not exactly one that had a bunch of advantages and things like that, people opening doors for him. He said, you know what? I don't really get bothered by it. Because if you get in, I don't care really about how you get in.
Yeah.
If you stick, you're good and you're doing the work.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a pretty valuable thing. See, the thing is, though, like, nepotism isn't good. No one likes it. It's not a good thing for society, no matter who got it and did it. It's not a good thing. But It's just a reality. It's a fact of life. And so, of course, LeBron can do it for his kid, and he will do it for his kid. You could argue that he's not doing his son any favors because it's misleading him or deluding him or whatever the case may be.
But if that's his son's dream, legit.
Sure.
If it is legit his son's dream, and as a dad, you can help him. I mean, he's going to learn more within the structure of the Lakers, whether he's in the G League or not, than he would probably learn playing in Turkey on his own.
Or at USC. Right. LeBron can say, honestly, if you want to be a pro, best way to be a pro is to be a pro, train with pros, learn from pros,
yes.
Watch me. It's my lifelong dream. I won the Lakers a championship. I'm one of the most powerful athletes in the history of the world. I'm going to help make this happen. Of course, nepotism is not good until it's your kid. And then you want to do it for your kid. Even if you know intellectually, it's maybe going to make him entitled or maybe going to let him to cut a corner or maybe it's going to take a spot from someone else.
Yeah.
You want to give your kid. It's like it's the macro micro thing. Nepotism, bad on the macro, but we all would do things for our kids if we could help them, even if we knew that maybe it's not the best thing in the big picture for it.
Yeah, and when I think about the way that LeBron has talked about it, I mean, the way that J.J. Redick had talked about it with some lies and the way that some other people had talked about it kind of bothersome, but really the way that LeBron has talked about it and most of the comments that I've seen and heard are like, you know, he's a good kid. He's a good kid, and he's going to work hard, and he's got a shot. You know, it's something that I think most of us would dream of being able to do for our child.
Of course, I think the thing that's interesting too, there's a lot of things that are interesting about it. LeBron has said his dream has been to play in the NBA with his son. Bronny's dream has been to play in the NBA. Would Bronny achieve his dream if his dad wasn't on the Lakers? That I do think is an interesting and fair. Like, of course it makes sense for LeBron. LeBron gets to play with his kid. That is unbelievable. It has never happened before in the history of sports. It is in the history of the NBA. It's an incredibly, for LeBron, of course, but for Bronny, he just wanted to make it to the league. So I do think it would have been more interesting if the Grizzlies would have drafted him or the Thunder would have, like, if he would have gotten there purely on his own merit.
Sure.
It would have been more interesting for Bronny. But for LeBron, this is about as cool of a father-son thing as we've ever seen in sports.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
You know, so I get it for LeBron, of course.
Texter says, like when privileged white talk show hosts take away valuable airtime from actual broadcast talent trying to break into the business, but you all laugh your ass all day about it. I had no nepotism help. I had no parent at all who helped me get here. So your text is a little off topic, sir, but thank you so much for listening.
My dad is Dan Bernstein. Which is like helped me get here for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is useful. Dan's a powerful guy. Mine was Terry Bors.
Screw that texter.
Yeah.
My dad's Jay Hood.
It's off topic. It's anger. And you can hate us and think there's other broadcast talent all you want.
But yeah, no,
your reasoning is trash.
Screw that texter.
I don't think
Bronny wants to play. I know that take has been popular lately, but I don't think Bronny wants to be in the NBA.
You think he's doing this for his father?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that would be unfortunate if that's true.
Yeah,
because
a kid
deserves to choose and try his own path, no matter what.
I don't think he has the passion for basketball that his dad did, or does still.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's a big national story, obviously, but I have not done the digging in terms of his psyche, his work ethic, et cetera. I have to admit that I have not.
I mean, he had a cardiac event in college and came back.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty amazing.
You know what I mean? And he's trying to play. So, I mean, I think he has said he's wanted to make it to the NBA. So he's made it to the NBA. But J.J. Redick today said he's probably going to play some time in the G League. He's a developmental player.
Sure.
The odds are overwhelmingly against him. But to go back to the Frank Vogel thing that he said for the book, like LeBron could get him into the NBA, and he could get him a guaranteed contract that he otherwise likely would not have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
But if he gets a second contract, it's going to be because he earned it.
Right. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
If he gets a roster spot.
That'll be in question.
Yeah.
Of course.
Things like that will be in question. If he gets playing time that seems like he doesn't deserve it or doesn't merit it and he struggles it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, is this really the best thing for Bronny
part of the conversation is interesting. Like, is LeBron fulfilling his dream at the detriment of his son, making his son a punchline, making all of his son's accomplishments be questioned and judged through the prism of his dad?
Like, Which, frankly, any of us who are fathers can relate to on some level. Like, am I forcing my child to live out my dream as opposed to letting them choose their own and supporting it? That's a scary place to consider.
The dream part, like, I hear what Shane's saying, but Bronny has said consistently he wants to play in the NBA. So I don't think he's being forced into this, but the Lakers part of it is clearly LeBron's dream.
Sure, it's like my father David Hall used to say. Actually, I don't even know what he
Who
used
is
to
your daddy?
Daddy David.
Who is your daddy and what does he do? Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
So here's some bad radio for you. I did not see Bronny James play.
That was a delightful moment on the morning show the other day. Casey Johnson asked what he thought of Bronny James in Vegas, and he offered just gold for Chris Tannehill.
So, here's some bad radio for you.
Oh, yeah. And then he talked for like 40 seconds after that.
Hell yeah. That's valuable.
Right?
That is valuable.
It's a great contribution.
Honestly, it's better than his answer about Bronny, whether he had seen him play.
Didn't matter. Didn't matter. At that point, it didn't matter.
Right, but if he had seen him play, not said the qualifier, we would forget the answer as soon as he said it.
It's Casey just knowing what we need as a station.
That answer will live on.
And so, here's some bad radio for you.
Before transition every day? Oh, wait, no. Studs gets to choose that.
It could happen whenever. There's no way to know.
Something about a berry life.
2-6. Here's some bad radio for you. Parkinson Spiegel. Oh, man, this news, we can't get out of here without passing it along. What was your favorite Martin Maldonado moment?
Oh, when he left.
Yeah, well, that was today. Congratulations. He's been DFA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Arr, arr, arr.
We're not going to take that from Martin Maldonado.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
My name's Lloyd. My son's name is Lloyd. I don't care how many L's we got. But he just had his best offensive stretch of his life, didn't he?
Yeah, but I'm
pretty homered sure. 3 out of 4 games, something like that.
It was an offensive stretch.
I think your game's a game of sample size. I think they're probably going to say that small stretch doesn't really represent who he is as a player.
All right, so do you want to institute the next era of White Sox players? Because right now, if you want to excite your fan base,
Edgar Caro,
it's time for Edgar Caro, who Tanny can tell you I've been talking about since the day they traded for him. He can play infield. He can play catcher.
Sorry, Tanny.
He can DH. Call him up now. Let Corey Lee get 75% of the reps at catcher. Edgar Caro gets the rest, and then cycle him in and out at first base. He can learn third base, and he can DH. The kid's bat plays.
You know, this entire second half is pretty amazing. Pedro Grifol said it the other day. He said, hey, you know, and it's like we're looking forward to setting up for next year. I mean, can you imagine being at the All-Star break and as a manager just saying, we're looking forward to getting things set up for next year?
I mean, there are more than just the White Sox who can say that.
Yes, for sure.
Who's Pedro setting it up for?
Not Pedro. I don't believe. But
David Ross.
Once. Oh, God.
Redirect.
Yes.
That'd be fun.
Caro will be here at some point. Colson Montgomery will be here at some point. I wonder if Noah Schultz gets a cup of coffee towards the end of the year. Jake Eater came up for the doubleheader the other day. He didn't stay, though, right? They sent him back down.
Yeah, he was 27.
Yeah, I want to see him.
Well, another move that they made today, I don't know if you guys mentioned
it. Oh, Danny Mendick!
Well, no, the Lenin Sosa thing.
Sent him down, right?
Yeah, they sent him down.
For no reason.
He's been playing great.
Really well. His best stretch of Major League Ball before the break.
I don't love
Last
that.
Last month.
For your guy, Speaks, Nick Senzel. Got to get him in there.
Well, got
out of here, Lenin.
That's Chris Getz concentrating on Project 2025. I'm sorry. Project Birmingham.
It's confusing. They're so similar.
I meant to say that.
Hey.
I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it.
Pretty light sports night tonight.
The lightest of the year.
The lightest sports night of the year. I saw there's some NBA Summer League action available on ESPN3.
I'm good.
And ESPN Plus.
I'm good.
Right?
Nah,
sportslessness.
It's going to be great. It's going to be lovely. Gabe Ramirez is here.
Oh, it's the good man right there.
He'll be in until 9 o'clock. So he's got Trey Wingo on the show tonight.
That's very cool.
That'll be fun. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lafka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sirs. Shane Reardon is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
All right, I got to go here, guys. I got something.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.